There's some fascinating things out there since the things that we've discovered with science, looking at the world from an evolutionary perspective. Since Vatican II, there's been a whole theology developed around this evolutionary perspective. One of the things I wanted to share with you is that scientists tell us we are made from an explosion billions of years ago of a star, that we're actually made of the stuff of stardust. It radiates. And then if you think about it, some thought that we are the earth coming to greater consciousness. And really the only way that the earth can reflect on itself. If you think of our Catholic theology, the heart of it is a very positive, optimistic human anthropology. Because there's something that comes before original sin. What comes before original sin? We're born in the image and likeness of God. We call it that. We can call it original justice. We can call it original goodness. But it's an optimistic anthropology. That's the beginning. And think about it. When we say that we are born in the image and likeness of God, that's a symbol, imaging God. It's a symbol that Jesus came to bring to reality in the incarnation, so that we could be Jesus, that we could reveal the love of God. But there's a whole lot of conversion that has to happen in all of us. And that's what this reading from Ezekiel is about today. I think if we, any of us, looked at our family trees, we'd find some great stuff there. We'd find some very courageous people. But we'd also find some garbage, some junk. But we can't say, I am that way because of my parents or grandparents or ancestors. What Ezekiel was getting at is that we have to claim individual and corporate responsibility. And how that new spirit that's been given to us, that life of God, when we allow that spirit to confront the garbage, can heal it, transform us, and allow us to be that new person that can sparkle like the stars. So how do we bring that junk before the Lord and deal with it? I think we have to start by looking at Jesus' own baptism. Because you know what? He had a whole lot of junk in his family tree. Read the genealogies at the beginning of the Gospels. There were murderers, there were thieves, adulterers, abuse of power. Few horse thieves there. And yet, that's what the incarnation is going to come through. So what happened at Jesus' baptism? He was fully human. He saw himself as a part of all of that. So he took all of unfaithful Israel into those muddy waters of the Jordan to transform them so that we could be transformed. You see, that's what we got to think about. And we oftentimes we talk about Jesus was fully human and without sin. Sometimes we move to that too quickly. Because if he was fully human, that means that he had the propensity to sin. And it was the life of God that empowered him to confront and be transformed. And that same gift is given to us. And so, when we look at sin personally or collectively, we can actually reverse the effects of it. And that brings us to the gospel today. Because why did Jesus say that children were blessed? Why did he say that those were his heirs of the kingdom? Because children innately know that they have to change, grow, and develop. It doesn't say be childish, it says be childlike. So that we can see our whole lives in this process of change, transformation, and growth, of coming more deeply into that fullness of the life of God. So that we could say what Irenaeus said, that the Christian is the man or the woman fully alive. But you see, sometimes I think we have an unhealthy dualism of church over here and the world over there. We are the world. And we carry the joys and sorrows of the world. And if we take the incarnation seriously, we have to accept that. Why? Because Jesus took on flesh. God so loved the world, entered it to become a part of it. And sometimes, we look at secularity in the world, they've lived out the Judeo-Christian ideals better than we have. They've been a prophet to us at times. I mean, we don't exactly have a great record when it comes to equality, justice, dignity of the human person. Those are the ideals of the Scriptures. And yet, so at times, they've called us to conversion. If you want to know what I mean, I'm a graduate of St. Mary's Seminary University in Baltimore. The seminary that I went to at one time period owned slaves. It wasn't the church. It was secular society. The church is working alongside with it that brought about systemic change. And why I bring this up? Because Jesus, the statement that he made about children in his day was very bold, courageous, and radical, because children have had no rights. So just the mention of that and the work of that was bringing about systemic change. And I think we have to confront something ugly that happened in the Roman Catholic Church. The obstacle of disciples who blocked children from being blessed. And that is the sex abuse crisis in the Catholic Church. And I think if we look at that sad tragedy, I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Spotlight, but it'll break your heart, but it really shows a lot of what happened. Who was the prophet? The Boston Globe, the secular media called us to the table to make us change. And tragically, if we look at it, cardinal law was shifting around priests that abused minors. Some of those priests are in prison now. Where's he at? In Rome. You see what I mean? We have to take seriously with wisdom, direction, and love that sometimes authority needs challenged. And it's dangerous if it's not, because we'll fail to live Jesus' message of the kingdom. But if there will be systemic change, it has to start in us. And so when I'm talking about us getting out of that pyramid structure, it's coming face to face as brothers and sisters, encouraging, confronting, and challenging one another as a circle church so that we can grow and develop together. And that's what Eucharist is about. You see, by baptism and Eucharist, we're a part of a new family tree. A part of a new bloodline. The bloodline of the Son of God. You know, I was thinking of Lou, who's going to speak here a little later on recovery and addiction. Sometimes I think we have to be careful because we can be so judgmental. But they, I don't know, you might correct me on this later. I think it takes, if there were drugs in our system, it would take 5 or 6 days to clear that out. If there was a urine test. But what's in our system in the last 5 or 6 days? Where is their greed? Where is their jealousy? Where is their pride? Where is their violence and lust or whatever it might be? And how do we bring that before the Lord? How do we come back in week after week as a people of conversion, the broken body of Christ, so as that comes out of our system, can't keep Eucharist distance, folks. But by the body and blood of Christ, what does that represent? A fresh transfer of newness and life. It has to be worked out in us. And why? So that we can be those disciples that aren't an obstacle, but that can bless all the children of the world.